Okay, Sunday morning, it's 11 o'clock. I found a video from the Dark Horse Podcast Clips channel, if it's a channel, or a clip of the Dark Horse Podcast anyway, where Brett Weinstein's speaking to Gert Van Den Bosch, who's a German vaccine expert, immunology expert. They're both scientists. I'm not a scientist, but what they're talking about is immune escape, which is the vaccine driving the mutation of the virus, and pathogenic priming, which, from what I understand, is priming your immune system with a very specific targeted spike protein based vaccine that then isn't capable of tackling the variants that show up in a year's time or 2 years time or whatever, because it's very, very specifically targeted. So that's my understanding of what they're saying. I'm going to just play this clip. It's about 15 minutes long. It's quite technical, but I think it illustrates both of those things, immune escape and pathogenic priming.
If you are correct about the hazard here, my guess, I think, as you have already said, is that there's no stopping this campaign that is, in some sense, politically inconceivable, that people would change course even if it made perfect sense for them to do so. And so the criteria you suggest might tell us that your model is correct. Standard hypothetico-deductive science, you've put out a hypothesis. Here are the characteristics that you would expect to indicate that it's right. If it turns out it's right, what do we do next? Do you have a sense?
Well, do you mean in terms of to remedy the situation? I mean, my point is... you know, the best thing that can happen to somebody is to be seronegative, right? Because if you are seronegative, certainly, if you are in good health and you're seronegative, you have good natural antibodies. Again, this is no fantasy. There are studies, scientific studies, where even natural antibodies are defined or are used as a benchmark for good health, right? So if you're seronegative, you don't suffer from any antibodies that could block your natural antibodies, and you can be fully exposed. I mean, of course, the problem is going to be the more you vaccinate people, the more people are going to be sitting on long-lived antibodies, right? And even if those antibodies decline and they get re-exposed to the virus, I mean, these antibodies will be immediately recalled. You were pointing out, you were educating people on what is memory and how antibodies get recalled after re-exposure, right? So then you have, of course, being seronegative is not going to be easy. And I tell you why, because if we continue to breed these highly infectious variants, the likelihood for somebody who is seronegative to become infected is going to become higher and higher, of course. So at the end of the day, you can turn it the way you want. For me, there is only one solution at this point in time. Maybe not at the beginning where there was a wild, just a wild thing. But at this point in time, there is no other solution but to intervene. And for me, the only intervention that makes sense is really to eradicate those variant strains. Because nobody is telling us how we are ever going to get rid of those, right? Herd immunity, well, I mean, that's not going to happen, obviously, because, you know, we have...
It's not going to happen because people will have been exposed to different variants, and therefore it's, you know, it's a family of viruses,
yeah.
You know, not a single...
But remember, this was the final target. This was the end game of the mass vaccination, is to have herd immunity, right? Sure. So you could of course also, and I'm not the expert, but let's assume an antiviral would work. And this antiviral could even be things like ivermectin. You don't hear me advocating for ivermectin, but let's assume some kind of antiviral drug would work. You could imagine to treat also people with this antiviral, but doing this in a prophylactic way, you're going to have the same problem as with antibiotics, that some people, you know, will have low concentration, be confronted with the virus, and it will induce resistance, I think, at the end. So you can use this for early treatment. That I think is very, very useful. But to get rid really of all these variants and to reduce the infectivity and control the whole thing, I really see no other way but to have a vaccine that induces, you can maybe explain this to the audience, sterilizing immunity, which is really to completely kill the virus, no matter what the antigenic constellation is of the virus, whether it is a variant or not.
So maybe I don't know well enough to explain it to the audience. I'd like to understand better. I certainly see that there is a hazard. A vaccine is not a vaccine, right? A vaccine is a very general technology, and in this case, the narrow targeting of the vaccine seems to me it was a blessing in the sense that it allowed the vaccine to be generated very quickly, but it's a curse in the sense that it informs the immune system only about the one characteristic, and that if we were to use something like an inactivated virus, that the immune system could discover various antigens, and therefore the evolution of a single antigen would not create the kind of escape that we're seeing. But you tell me whether that adds up.
No, it doesn't. I think it's a very logical reasoning, but unfortunately it does not apply. The reason is if you target the S protein, what most of these vaccines do, you can prevent the virus from entering into the cell. So that is basically, that is sufficient, if, you know. The problem is let me put it the other way around. Instead of an inactivated virus, a thing that might make sense, because by the way, that is the way we eradicated smallpox. That's also the biggest strides in the eradication of polio. Polio is not fully eradicated, but almost. But the biggest strides we have made with the oral polio vaccine, which was also a live attenuated vaccine. And there, of course, you induce innate immune responses as well as, of course, adaptive immunity, etc. And that would be, I think, in my humble opinion, much more efficient. But of course, it would not be a solution for people who have already been vaccinated. Because as I was saying, if you revaccinate them with the oral polio, an attenuated coronavirus, you're going to recall their original antibodies first, because those have memory. And there is something like, we call this antigenic sin. If you are re-challenged with an antigen that is similar to the one to which you got originally primed, then your original antibodies are going to be recalled, and those are not going to match with the variants. So you are going to even promote again immune escape if you revaccinate people who have previously been vaccinated with the current vaccines. So this may help for those who are seronegative.
So
you're attenuated.
You're arguing. So the attenuated virus is one that functions to transmit between cells?
That function to transmit, it's live attenuated, so it's going to be excreted, right, to some extent.
Right. Yep.
Some people will say it was also the problem with oral polio, that at the end of the day, you put this in the environment, it gets again in people, it can recombine, etc. But still, as we have seen with oral polio, it has dramatically reduced viral load. But my understanding is, because of this antigenic sin, that you could not use it in people who have already been pre-primed with the current vaccine. Right?
So this is yet another argument against the current regime is that the current vaccine regime actually eliminates what might be our best weapon going forward, because it will induce a kind of immunity that will react to this alternative type of vaccine.
This breath is something people need to understand. In contrast to a drug, you have a drug, when that gets eliminated from your blood, or, you know, you have the half-time of the, you need a minimum concentration for the drug to be active. If you're below that concentration, it doesn't work anymore, it's eliminated, and you're fine, it's done, you know, there is no consequence, so to say. A vaccine is something that educates your immune system, for God's sake, for the rest of your life, right? So that is not a simple thing. That is something which has serious consequences. I mean, we were talking about the memory. What is memory? Well, memory means that if you see this antigen again or something alike, your antibodies, your original immune response will be recalled, right?
Yes.
So that is a serious thing.
I've been trying to call my audience's attention to this, that we are inherently intervening, not just in a complex system, right? Complex systems are tough enough, but you're intervening in a complex system within a complex system within a complex system, right? The narrowest one being the immune system, which you are educating, the immune system existing inside the body, which is itself an adaptive system. And then it exists inside a population. And so all of these things interact. And what they do is they mean that any action that you take because it sounds like the right thing to do risks creating a cascade of consequences you did not anticipate, this being one such consequence, that there is a tool that would take longer to develop that you will take off the table to the extent that you have educated people's immune systems such that effectively you've warned them about a pathogen, your next vaccine might be attenuated, and effectively the immune system would have the equivalent of post-traumatic stress disorder, where it would react to the attenuated vaccine, which is potentially life-saving. It would react to it as if it were a pathogen, and it would prevent the effectiveness. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it will recall your original antibodies, and these are the S antibodies of the current vaccines, right? Which we know. You know, they don't do the job essentially. Let's assume you make this vaccine and you start vaccinating with it in half a year from now. In the meantime, you will have further evolution, of course, of your variants. So they will even be more different, the S protein, from the one that was originally in the vaccine. So now when you recall the original antibodies in half a year from now, yeah, for sure, they will match much less with the S protein of the variants that will be circulating in half a year from now, right? So it's further driving immune escape, basically.
There you go. I think that says it much better than I did. But they're obviously using technical language that I don't really get that well, but I'm trying to simplify it so I can understand it myself. And what it comes down to is immune escape. When you vaccinate a population, it puts pressure on the virus to mutate, because if it stays the way it is, it's going to get wiped out, I think. That's basically what they're saying. So that's immune escape. And pathogenic priming is your immune system looking for a very specific spike protein that you've been vaccinated with, and then when the mutation happens, the spike protein changes, your immune system isn't as effective, and you've got an infection again. So the vaccination program is basically driving the need for a vaccination program. So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. I'm not participating personally, but this is what's happening. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. So because you've been vaccinated with something that's so specific, when the mutation happens in 2 years' time, that's an escape from that particular set of spike protein conditions or whatever it looks like, then it requires a new vaccine. Whereas if you hadn't been vaccinated, you would have natural immunity and your immune system naturally adapts. So you're losing the adaptability of your immune system by being vaccinated with a specific spike protein. I think that's what they're getting at. I hope I've explained that reasonably well. All right, thanks for listening, and I'll see you again later on today, probably.